This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world.
Thank you, our minister of music, Brother Arkeen Brown. All of my help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. Our scripture for today, the Gospel according to John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Gospel according to John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Our subject for today's message is How to Reach the Masses, Part 2. Let us pray. God, our Creator, Sustainer, Redeemer, we ask right now in a special way that you speak to us, that we, your servants, might hear and then do the work you called us to do. This is the year of action. So God, place us in the action to love and care and share and to do the work you have for us to do right now, the way you have us to do it. Bless us now, God, in this message. Speak to each one of us individually and collectively. Give unto us what we need for our present situation as we move forward into an exciting and wonderful future. Bless us now. Speak and have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. How to Reach the Masses, Part 2. This is a time for action. You see, I have my sleeves out. It's time to go to work. We've said it over and over again, this is a year of action. Now, what work do we need to do? There is a need for us to reach the masses. There are so many who haven't been coming to church, and now, since we all have not been physically in the church building, we are in a position where we can reach more. My, isn't it amazing how God will move it on his own special way to get us to do what he has designed for us to do? Right now, we can technically reach the entire world through the World Wide Web. But we need to reach the masses in such a way that they will respond to the Word of God. That's what we're talking about, how to reach. There's a need for us to reach those who do not know Christ. Scores and scores of people do not know Jesus. Pastor, how can you say that? Well, it's evident. Look at the world in which we live. Look at all what's happening around us. If you truly love Jesus, you won't be killing and shooting anybody just for any old reason. If you truly love Jesus, you will not be stealing. If you truly love Jesus, you will not be doing evil things to other people. If you truly love Jesus, and if you did do something that you have no business doing, you would repent of that and make it right. I'm just saying, the world needs this personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, and it's our responsibility to do what we can to make sure that everybody knows Jesus. Everybody knows the love of Jesus. Everybody knows the grace of Jesus. And everybody knows the power of Jesus. It's at our opportunity to do that. So the question is, how do we reach the masses? We know we need to reach the masses. Why? Because the masses, or we can say this, the masses is in need of healing. All of us in need of healing. All of us in need of being on the right path. Just as our sermon on last Sunday, we talked about from Numbers chapter 21, and we remember how the children of Israel were complaining against God, complaining against Moses. They were saying things like, you know, we could have stayed in Egypt today. Why are you going to bring us out into the wilderness? They were on their way to freedom, on their way from oppression, on their way from all the things going wrong when they were enslaved. Now they're going toward freedom, but now they're complaining because they're upset with the provisions God's given them. They want something more, something different. I just talked about how it is that God has blessed us with so many things that we have, but yet many times we're not grateful for what God has done. Take time to take a step back and just breathe. Just breathe and thank God for the very air you breathe. I remember a time when I thought about water and just having clean water. We took water for granted. And I know I'm dating myself now, but I could not believe when someone said, you would pay for a bottle of water. Like, pay for water? Water free, just go to the spigot, go turn the water on, drink some water. But somebody said, no, one day you're going to have to live to pay for water. Why are you paying for water? And then you get water, and that's pure water, you know, and now it's, you know, all kinds of different kinds of water, you know, alkaline water. You know, just, you're paying for water now. I'm saying right now, take time to thank God for air, because I don't want to announce this, but I sure would hate to have to walk around here and the very air we breathe, we have to have bottled air everywhere we're going. And at the rate we're going, we may have to walk around and start buying air just so we can breathe. But take time right now to thank God for what he's done, and don't be ungrateful for what you already have, that you're not having to fork the money out for now. We could thank God, but we look and we live in a society who really needs to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. And those of us who have a relationship need to have a closer walk with God. So how do we reach the masses? We got to reach the masses. When Moses lifted up the serpent, the bronze serpent, and when they were able to see it, those who had been bitten by the snakes, those who had been bitten by the serpents and were dying, they could look upon that serpent, have faith that God's word said, if you look at it, you will be healed. That they looked at it with faith, they were actually healed. And Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, so should the Son of Man be lifted up. Which means so should we lift up Jesus, that others may see him. Yes, that others may see him. So how do we reach the masses? Well, the song tells us. I kind of got ahead of myself, but let's reflect on the song, Draw Men. It says, how to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave the key. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words that he said. I'll draw all men unto me. Don't exalt the preacher. Don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel, simple, full, and free. Prove him, and you will find that promise is true. I'll draw all men unto me. Seeing that we all want to reach the masses for Christ, let's look at three things relative to how we can lift up Jesus. Now, actually, in this, we'll find this in the fourth stanza of this same song. And this is the basis of what we're saying today. Lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world in you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. So the question we're answering now is, so how ought a Christian live? It says, lift him up by living as a Christian ought. So how ought a Christian live? First point, we ought to live in love. That's right. We ought to live in love. Go ahead. You can commit to doing that. Just say, yes, I will live in love. Jesus gives us the great commandment. And the great commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what he commands us to do. Yeah, he basically tells us we need to love. Love God with everything you have, all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then when he tells us to love him, love God, love your neighbor. Now, I know we can get confused by that. Some people say, okay, I love my next door neighbor. I don't know who they are, but yeah, I love them. No. We're talking about others. When they say, who is my neighbor? And that whole parable about the Good Samaritan said you just basically love the person who is in need. Whoever in need, you love them by doing something. And that's by providing for their needs. So when he says love, he's telling us we need to love, we need to love, we need to love, we need to care. Now, I know some people say, well, okay, I love my friends, I love folk who I know. Jesus made it clear in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. He says, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you and pray for those who despitefully use you. In other words, he's making it clear that we need to love even folk that we might deem unlovable. But this is the way that we're going to reach the masses, by living in love. Matter of fact, Jesus said, let me make it real plain to you. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Wow, I know you've been hearing so many sermons on love, but listen, That's how we're going to be able to reach who God wants us to reach. That's how we're going to be able to care for the folk who need the most care. We have to look at how God loves us, and we find ourselves loving others. Matter of fact, you might say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't know if God really wants me to love everybody or love other folk or whatever else. Listen to what he says to us very emphatically in his word. He says that, he asks the question of, how can you love God who you have not seen, and you hate your brother who you see every day? The Bible says, you're a liar. You can't do that. So the way that we show our love for God is by loving others. Put it another way. Your love for God is no greater than your love for the person you like the least. Yeah. So what he's saying to us is, we are compelled to do what God would have us do. He compels us to love. Now, saying that we need to live a life of love, or we need to live in love, understand this. I am not saying you do that on your own strength. I am not talking to those of us who've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because he has empowered us to do it. He's empowered us to love like he wants us to love. Just allow God to live in you and let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And he'll give you a mind of love. He'll give you a mind of forgiveness. He'll give you a mind of giving. He'll give you a mind where you can do the things he has you to do the way he wants you to do it. He loves us like that. And how can you love God? You can love him because he first loved us. Yes. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Why? Because he first loved me. God loves us. God loves you. Oh, yes, he does. But because he loves us, he expects us to follow his example and love others. So if we ought to reach the masses, we have to live in love. Go ahead, tell them, live in love. Live in love. Think about it. All the various ways God has for us to live, we ought to live in love. Now, secondly, not only ought we live in love, we ought to live in obedience. Live in obedience. He gave us the great commandment. And the great commandment to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and then to love our neighbor as ourselves. But when Jesus died on the cross, he did die. When he got up from the grave, he did get up. He assembled with his disciples, and he gave them what we call the Great Commission. He said, go ye therefore into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all things I have commanded you. And he says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the world. He commissioned us to go, and we need to be obedient. We need to go and go with love. We need to go in a way that we could reach those who don't know Christ. We're going through Zoom. We're going through Facebook. We're going through YouTube. We're going through Instagram. We're going through our podcast. We're going. But all of us need to go and spread the word and let people see the love that God has for them. We are compelled to live in obedience. Matter of fact, Matthew 5:16 tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give God glory. See, when we go in obedience, we have to go in obedience and allow people to see the life we're living, that they can see the joy that we have, that they can see the peace that we have. Whatever you're doing, live in such a way that others can see the work. I know you want to do things and people don't know the good you're doing, all this kind of stuff, but you know, people see your bad, they're going to tell that just like that. People see you're good. We need to get to where we are doing our best to embrace one another and help others know how much we care about the good things that we're doing. Let's let folks see the good that you're doing as one who loves God. Let us talk about the good things we see from other folk who connected with the church, not just the bad things we want to say about folk. If we talk about the good things, the people who don't know Christ will come to know Christ. That's why Jesus says, and when he prayed for us in John chapter 17, he prayed that we might be one. That's those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. He said, if we, the folk who called by his name, if we could just love one another, then the world will know that the Father sent the Son. So how can we do that? We live in love and we live in obedience. Obedience to love like God wants us to love. Obedience to give like God wants us to give. You hear me all the time talking about, well, not all the time, you hear me sometimes talking about we ought to pay our tithes and give an offering. And I like to point people to Malachi 3, because God gave us a promise that you only see in the Word of God, Malachi 3. First, in verse 8, he says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. How have we robbed God? In tithes and offering. Then he says, you're cursed with a curse this whole nation. Then he says, bring ye the tithes to my storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pull you out a blessing that you would not have room enough to receive it. That's what he said he would do. Then he says, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Let me say, tell you what he's saying there. He said, if you would pay tithe and give offering, that stuff that would happen in your life that would take money from you, he's saying, I got your back. Not only would I make sure that stuff don't happen, make sure that stuff would not happen in your life, but I'll also make sure you receive the blessing you get for being obedient. It doesn't matter what you think about tithe, what you think about people saying you got to do that. Look at God's word. When you're obedient to his word, he will do what he said to do. You do what you can do, God will definitely do what he can do. I'm just saying we ought to live in obedience. Love like he wants us to love. Care like he wants to care. Go like he wants us to go. And do what he wants you to do. Be obedient to God's will in your life. Some of you right now, God is telling you things you ought to do, how you ought to help others, how you ought to share, how you ought to be a blessing. Go ahead and be obedient. Do what God has called you to do. When you do what God has called you to do, you will have only what God can give you. What God has for you, it is for you. Go ahead and do it. Have that love that God wants to have. Have everything by being obedient unto God's word. Live by example. Live in obedience. But not only should we live in love, not only should we live in obedience, we should also live in joy. This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. When I say live in joy, Apostle Paul puts it even better than I did. Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let me ask you, when is always? When is always? When is always? Oh, it's all the time. So when should you not be rejoicing as one who loves the Lord? I tell you, I can't understand folk who say we're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, folk who say we love the Lord, and all the time, got your head down, feeling trouble. I don't know how bad this life is. It's just so terrible. Come on. No, rejoice in the Lord always. Yes, terrible things will happen in your life. Yes, you will have trials and tribulations. Yes, things unexpected will happen. Things will take a turn for the worse. But the word of God says, rejoice not in your circumstance. Rejoice not in your situation. Rejoice not in the bad things that happen. But you can rejoice in the Lord, and you can do it always. Well, how can I rejoice in the Lord? You can rejoice in the Lord because of what God has already done for you and for me. We're rejoicing. Even in the midst of persecution. Matter of fact, Matthew 5:11 says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Wait a minute. You're saying I'm blessed when folk be messing with me? Yes. You're saying I'm blessed when folk talk about me? Yes. You're saying I'm blessed when folk lie on me? Yes. The Bible says you're blessed. Yes. Blessed are you. Look it up. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you, men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. But first, after you heard me say this 1,000 times, what is the Christian response when folk mess with you, when folk talk about you, when folk lie on you, when things are getting so desperate and so bad? How is it that we are to respond? Matthew 5:12 tells us, the word of God says, those of us who love God, those of us who connect with God, it says we are to rejoice and be glad. And King James says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Woo! Because great is your reward in heaven. My brothers and sisters, you need to know God has prepared great things for us when we get over yonder. But while you're living right here, just rejoice, even in that mess. Rejoice, even in that tribulation. In the midst of that tribulation, in the midst of that mess, rejoice. But you're not rejoicing in the stuff, you're rejoicing in the Lord. Hallelujah, praise his name. Woo! I feel a joy right there. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Don't let anybody steal your joy. Go ahead and have joy. Listen, God has given you joy. God has given you peace. God has empowered us to do the work he called us to do. We have the power. What do you mean we have the power? The word of God teaches us in Ephesians 3:20. God can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. See, Jesus gave us a great commandment to love. Obey it. Jesus gave us a great commission to go. Obey it. But Jesus also gave us a great empowerment in the person of the Holy Spirit who came after he died and rose from the grave. The Holy Spirit came and lives in those of us who believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the grave. When we lift up Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and guides us and helps us and lifting him up everywhere we go. And when you're rejoicing, you're attracting so many more people. What kind of party do you want to go to? You want to go to a party with people sitting around moping and just sitting there? Ooh, what a good party. I hear that music. Or do you want to go in a party with a smile, with it, some action to it? Yeah, y'all don't act like y'all ain't never been to a party. Yeah, don't act like, yeah. Y'all know the party. Those who used to party, those who still party, those who just came from the party late last night, early this morning. Yeah, you know, the party, you know what I'm talking about? But there's an air of excitement. And listen, we have something to be more excited about than anybody at any party, any time, wherever. We have the joy of the Lord. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We can rejoice in the Lord. When you say, Pastor, how can I rejoice in the midst of my trials? How can I rejoice in the midst of my trials and tribulations? How can I rejoice when it seems like the world is collapsing in on me and I don't have the money I want to have? I don't have the blessing I want to have. Listen, just trust God. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing. God has put so many provisions in his word for us. If we just obey his word, the blessings come flowing to us from every place you can think of. But the reason we can rejoice in the Lord is because of what the Lord has already done. What has he done? He came through 42 generations. And he came to this earth and went about doing good. Out of all the good he did, folk talked about him and ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. But can you see our Lord and Savior, as he kept on doing good, he kept on being obedient, he kept on living in love, he kept on living in obedience, he kept on living in joy. Can you see him when he went in the upper room with his disciples? He broke the bread, he poured the wine, the fruit of the vine. He said, this do in remembrance of me. But even after doing that, can you see him? When he said, one of you will betray me. But he didn't miss a beat. He told Judas, what you do, go and do quickly. Jesus went out and betrayed him. And Jesus went to the mount. And as he went to the mount, he prayed. When he came back, can you see him? When they come to arrest him, and Jesus allowed them to arrest him, even though Peter grabs a sword and wants to cut off, well, he cut off one of their ears, but he might have been going for the neck. But Jesus, in the midst of that, said, no, don't do that. Who live by the sword will perish by the sword. Can you see our Lord and Savior, who allowed them to take him into captivity, who allowed them to take him from judgment hall to judgment hall, who allowed them to whip him all night long for your sins and for my sins? He offered himself up as a sacrificial lamb. This is what you can rejoice in, that he gave us his all. He came from heaven to earth to show us the way. He walked about doing good. He allowed them to arrest him. He allowed them to whip him all night long. But can you see him when they marched him up to Golgotha's hill? Can you see him when they marched him up there with a crown of thorns on his head? Can you see our Lord and Savior when they put nails in his hands, nails in his feet, with his crown of thorns on his head? Can you see him as he's laying there on the ground, a bloody mess from where they've been beating him, a bloody mess where they put nails in his flesh? Can you see him laying there? But then they did exactly what the word of God said would happen. They lifted him up, and he said, and I, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. They hung him high, they stretched him wide, but they lifted him up. Can you see our Savior lifted up and on the cross for you and for me? He's dying. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you see our Lord and Savior as he's hanging on the cross, dying, and yet there's two others there, those who are also under capital punishment, And one of them say, if you say you're the Father, if you say you can save yourself, save us too. But others say, no, don't taunt him. This is a just man. We did our crimes. And it's a good thing to admit when you have messed up. He said, we've done our crimes, but this is a just man. Then he said to Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. Woo! Can you see that? And look at what Jesus said to him. Jesus didn't say to him, no, you're a bad person. No, you're in capital punishment. No, I have nothing to do with you. But Jesus, even in his physical dying hours, he said, this day, you'll be with me in paradise. He's even taking time to evangelize from the cross. And if Jesus can do that, we ought to be able to lift him up. So those who don't know him will come to know him. And the Bible says he died. He died. He hung from the sixth to the ninth hour. And he died for all of your sins. He died for all of my sins. That's something we can rejoice about always. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday. Stayed there all day Saturday. Stayed there all night Saturday night. But early, I said early, on that Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with power. Power over the grave. Victory over death. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. I thank him for the power. He ascended into heaven and sent back the Holy Spirit to live in us and to guide us and to direct us and to help us to love, to help us to be obedient, to help us to have joy in the midst of what we go through, and it's to help us to lift him up so he can draw all men unto him. Oh, trust God today. He's a mighty good God. He loves you. He cares for you. He cares for us. He will get victory in our lives when we take time to do our part. We have to reach the masses. Men of every birth, not just black folk, not just white folk, but everybody. We have to reach the masses. And for the answer, Jesus gave the key. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. He was lifted up. He hung high. For your sins and my sins. He was resurrected and he is coming back again. Trust God today. We'll give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, as we all desire to draw men, that God might get the glory. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please pray this prayer with me that you can accept Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. He loves you and he cares for you. So if you would just take time right now to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer that you would say, Lord, I'm sinning. I messed up. We got to admit that. We sinned. We messed up. We want to live for him. We want to turn from our sins. And then the Bible says, Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. I know I said that quick. Let me do it again. Romans 10:9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose from the grave, you could be saved right now just by believing in it. So we will pray this prayer. And if you believe this prayer, just pray it and receive God into your life. Pray after me if you want to accept Christ. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life and help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, right now, go ahead and click on that spot right there on YouTube or Facebook. Take time, or you call the church office, 912-233-6597, and let us know the decision you made. We want you to first become a disciple of Christ. you also have an opportunity to become a member of First African Baptist Church. We thank God for you. Thank you for worshiping with us on today. We can reach the masses. We can lift up Jesus everywhere we go. We can lift him up and be all he's called us to be. We ask you also, remember not only that you give, remember all of our observation announcements, let God guide and direct you to do those things he has us to do. Let us now pray. God, again, we thank you for this day to come and to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for all that you've done and all you continue to do in all of our lives. Help us, God, to lift you up everywhere we go. Help us to live as you have us to live, to love as you have us to love, to obey as you have us to obey, to have the joy that you have us to have, because we know that we have life everlasting because of our relationship with you. Have your way now, God. Teach us, strengthen us, and use us. And now we ask that the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide with us, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let all the people of God say amen and praise God.
Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, Givelify. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.